How's everybody doing? Doing good? I'm doing fine, thank you. We're going to talk about, am I good soil? Am I good soil? Ask yourself, am I good soil? Ask the person next to you, are you good soil? Apparently, there's been a study done on the attention span of a guppy. A guppy, it's like a little minnow thing. And you know what the attention span of a guppy is? It's 9 seconds. 9 seconds. Nine short or long seconds, just 9 seconds. Apparently, a guppy's life is either super busy or it just doesn't have the mental power to focus more than 9 seconds. Get this, the study isn't over. Apparently, in today's world, the attention span of the average human is less than a guppy. You got it. The study reveals the attention span of a human is 8 seconds. Who does these studies? Do you know why people have the attention span that's shorter than a guppy? On second thought, you know, I'll tell you what. Listen, here, I'm going to do this. Let's go ahead and I got my timer here, and I'm going to, nobody just ready? I'm going to go 8 seconds. Ready? Does anybody remember what we were talking about? For the average person, you got to grab them in 8 seconds. Isn't that wild? Jesus had an answer to the reality of the attention span. And his thing was, he would actually tell stories. And they're called parables. He would speak in these little stories. And a parable is real unique because it's like a box of Cracker Jacks. Have you ever had a box of Cracker Jacks? And you eat the Cracker Jacks, and what is going on with the Cracker Jacks? There's a prize on the inside, right? There's a prize in there. And what Jesus did was he would tell, he was, first of all, when he first started his ministry, he was super upfront. He was upfront, did the teaching just out there, no stories much, just principles. And what happened is the pure truth really upset the religious leaders. And so Jesus, in his masterful, brilliant communication and understanding of people, began to use the Cracker Jack approach. He began to speak in parables and hide the truth on the inside. And you know what that did? That slowed down the threats of killing him because they weren't sure. The religious leaders were saying, that story, I think it's against us. They couldn't tell what was inside. And so it slowed down the timing of his crucifixion. Isn't that amazing? It slowed him down. Jesus used that. But also this, for the people that were really desiring to know him, they would be doing their dishes later, thinking of the story. Be thinking of the story, and so they go, I got it! And they would get the prize on the inside. The revelation would explode in their heart. And on the back of your notes, I've arranged this. I want us to look at Jesus called this the biggest or the most important parable. He said, if you don't get this one, you don't understand the rest of them. This was like a key. But I've arranged it differently because what I've done is I've put down his interpretation of the line. So I put one line of what he said, and then I put the interpretation that he told to the disciples later. So because you guys are so smart, you'll all get that. So anyway, so I'll read it, and you just follow along with me. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Now Jesus later says, the ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. There you go. You know, before we go on, let's just ask the Lord to, let me pray. Let's just ask the Lord to really open our hearts to what he wants to do in the room and do in our hearts today. Father God, we just open to you. We praise you, Lord, that you give that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we'd understand what you're saying to each of our hearts, because you have a message for each of us. There's hope wrapped up in this thing. There's a release of life that happens in the Word. there's a desire to break free from old things, and you're doing it. And we're here to worshiping you and opening to you. And I pray, Lord, you just release this in us in Jesus' name. Amen. And then the second one, he says, some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And the ones on the, now then later he explains to the disciples, and the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and at a time of testing, fall away. Then the next one, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. Jesus explained to them later, as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. And then he said the last soil, as some fell in good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And so Jesus explained later, as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Now listen, everybody, there's one seed and there's four heart conditions. The seed is the eternal word of God. And what it's coming toward is the heart condition of a person. Jesus isn't talking about a real seed that falls on the ground. That's the analogy. The real seed is the word of God. The real seed is an eternal, life-giving word, has life in it, and you receive it, and it goes into you and changes you. And there are some people, well, let me say what the word is. Let me say, there's the revealing, what the seed does, it reveals God's goodness to your heart. It reveals that God loves you, that God laid down his life for your sins, that God offers you a life-giving relationship with him, that God died in your place and removed your sins from you, that he makes you a son and daughter in Christ and puts you in his family, that God gives you a new start, that God gives you new life, that you were dead in your sins, but now you're alive in him. This is the seed. And the seed also expands to other things. Everything about what, here's your faith and my faith, it starts after Jesus is finished. You're not going to go make God do something. You're just going to tap into what he's already done. What he's done is complete. He's completed. He was on the cross. He said, it is finished. And he completed it. And he rose from the dead. And bam, it's all done. It's amazing because Jesus, like, you know, you don't get to open the will until the guy dies, right? And Jesus raises, he comes from the dead and he reads the will to us. He died, but now he's there giving us the goods out of his eternal promises and all the things, the resources and everything he's promised us, our spiritual inheritance in Christ. It comes via him rising from the dead and giving it to us. So there's other seeds too. Haven't heard this one before. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against you in judgment you shall condemn, for this is the heritage of the Lord. Right? There's seeds. And every single promise of the Word of God is a seed that can produce something in you. But now let's go back to the first one. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And then it says, the ones along the path are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts that they may not believe and be saved. Here's your first fill in the blank. My trampled on heart. Let's prophesy. My trampled on heart will become good soil. My trampled on heart will become good soil for God's word. By the way, I want to say the word saved here is bigger than just your salvation. It actually, the word sozo, it means this. Keep safe. How many of you like that idea? And sound. Keep safe and sound. To rescue from danger or destruction. To save a suffering person from perishing. To save one who is in danger of destruction. It's a big word. He says, and here's what happens. The love of God, that Jesus cares for you, is sown, and it hits and bounces off. It bounces off the trampled on heart. You know, a path is walked on. A path is walked on. And so it's hard. It's hard. And so the seed falls. The first analogy Jesus said, listen to this. Here's what he's saying. There's four kinds of hearts. And if it's actually 25% of the people are this way, 25% of the people are the other way, 25%. That's 75% of people struggle, and only 25% actually have good soil to start with. Is that amazing? What kind of soil do you have? Am I good soil? Now, here's the deal. I believe that Jesus can do a miracle work and change trampled on hearts into good soil. I believe that that's who he is, and that's what he'll do. And he can do that in you and in me. But there's reasons that people end up with hard hearts. How many, you know, we talk about, you know, that person lets everybody walk all over them. Have you ever heard that before? Or I feel like a doormat. That's a person that's like, you know, feels like they're being taken advantage of. And there's this hardness that comes for just letting bruises and stuff happen to you. Just, you know, everything goes. And so the Lord says, I love you. I care about you. Nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. That's what the heart does. And then Satan goes, boop, got that one. And this person goes on their own miserable way. God says, I want to take care of you. Bing, bounces off. I have to take care of myself. Nobody ever take care of me. I want to provide for you. I want to open up a door for you to go, bing. I have to do it all myself all the time. Are any guppies still in the room? What are you going to do with a heart that's been trampled on, victimized, and Satan's always hovering like a bird, and any good thing that comes your way is gone? Are you sick and tired of that yet? You're tired of being stolen from by hell. Do you want your heart to turn into something that God can actually grow something good in? How many of you would like the seeds of God's love to go deep in you? And you have a deep conviction that you're thoroughly and deeply loved by God. I didn't start that way. I was trampled on. I was at that love of God stuff come bink and go bouncing right off. And Satan slid in. I walked around thinking I was rejected, believed I was rejected. Hey, I had to reject you first before you rejected me because there was a wall there. My heart was trampled on. It was hard. And I couldn't trust anybody. Are you there? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Any pathway hearts here that just, you know, okay, I'm under it. How many would like to change that? Would you like God to do a thing in you to change that? To where you now can receive from God and actually get some good things going on? I was going to say, let's go get a tractor and plow up the path. And that's what the instructions are in here in a little bit. But people get hard-hearted for different reasons. And one of the reasons is that there's I think I put it on your notes there. There's a hardness that comes via the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3:13. Let me just say this. Sin in its simplest definition. Are you ready? Real simple definition for sin. Rebellion against God. There, I told you. Rebellion against God. God says this. I go, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to do this way. And as Dr. Field would say, how's that working out for you? Because God says, I want to love you. I want to care for you. I want to show you who I am. I want you to put your faith and trust in me. Bink, 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 bink. Nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. Nobody's ever going to. How many of you? Still, let me just say this. If you've already given your heart to the Lord, I bet you there is an area or two in your soul that is trampled on stuff, and that you struggle with getting the Word of God into that area of your soul. Some people are easy learners in some areas of their life, and then they're hard learners in some areas of their life, and then they're no learners. And the power of Jesus is to change the no learner into a learner. How many of you have been through the grind? You grind and you realize, I am so tired of this. I can't see. It is like the blinders start coming off. You know, you start beginning to see what in the world you're doing. You know, bing, bing. Every God's been chasing you down and you've been running. And you don't realize there's help if you'll surrender. There's hope if you'll just yield and trust him. And he's pursuant, dear Lord. Now, the Lord's going to let you run off, you know, but he's going to keep his eyes on you. Because, you know, he loves you, and he'll draw you back in his love, and he'll put you on somebody's heart, and they'll suddenly just start praying for you. And there's all kinds of things. The Lord has all these different means. But I want deeply to you to know that the Lord is relentless in pursuing you to have a wonderful relationship with him, and he wants to cultivate that relationship so that you rise up and have a deepened trust in who he is. And when people bump into you, they bump into someone who knows him and can help them. Everybody's been on the other end, not knowing, blinded, can't see. Is that right? And it's, you know, we live in a difficult day too. There's, by the way, this deceitfulness of sin, it says, exhort one another every day, verse says, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. A hard heart is like a Teflon heart. It's just things just bounce off us in it. And the reason that people get that way is says, I don't want to be hurt anymore, and I'm going to cover up, and I'm not going to allow anybody to hurt me. And so then you wall off yourself. But here's the crazy thing. When you wall off yourself, you wall off God. The walls, you think the wall's just here, but the wall's just, it's everywhere. And so God is like, I see you in your little self-made prison down there. He's shooting little, here's the word of God. Bing. Well, looking for a crack. To see if they could get in there. How many of you? And then suddenly one day the lights come on. You're like, I am so sick and tired of being so sick and tired. The pain of my life, I'm just done with it. I got to have some help. And something, you begin to realize, what in the world am I doing with myself? You guys are laughing like you all understand it's you. The ones that are laughing, no, this is the struggle. You know, I was like, Lord, is this really what you want me to talk about? You know, it's like, this is, you know, the Lord Jesus can transform a trampled on heart into good soil. He can do something. He can cause what's hard in there to soften up. He knows how. He'll do that. And I'll get to the next part. I want to share this, you know, you've heard this story. We've even used it in ministry here, but not everybody's heard it. I was at a retreat, a guy put together out in Riverside, California. And there was about 10, I forget, 10, there was 200 guys there. It was out, it was an amphitheater outside. And he kind of, you know, he provided a band for me, and I played my guitar, and I had these wonderful brothers in the Lord that could really minister in music. And so I had that going. And there was a bunch of young men, and they were from different churches. A lot of them were actually out of prison, too. So there was quite a crew that had been really hard-hearted people, really tough-hearted people, really painful. I didn't know all this. You know, I just going in, and I talked to the fellow, the host there, and then Garland. And Garland told me, he said, you know, this. He gets up there. He says, this is going to be the most important thing. And I'm, like, shaking in my boots, like, you know, God, if you don't move, I'm toast. How many of you know, you're stepping out there and they say, he's thinking this is going to be the best thing ever. And I'm going, ah. So anyway, we had provided some water, and I was going to do this thing where I would say, I explained about deceitfulness of sin makes your heart hard, and there's different reasons for your heart getting hard, and that God wanted to take out, and the Bible says in Ezekiel, it says that with the sprinkling of the water, he'll take out a heart of stone and put it in a heart of flesh. So there's this miracle thing that God can do. He can take out a heart of stone, put it in a heart of flesh. So I'm standing there, and then I tell them, you know, I said, look, we've got this water up here, and you just cup your hands like this, and I want you to, they're going to pour a little water in there, and I want you to put it on your heart. And I'm telling you, it was amazing watching these guys. They were looking at the water as if it was liquid gold. It was amazing. There was faith. There was faith. They believed something, and yet nothing was happening. They were treating it like this. All of them, they didn't want to spill a drop. It was like, and they were on, and they go back to their seat, and it was an amphitheater in there. So it was like they're all in line, and they all got there, and they all were in their seats there, and the last. I want to do this the rest of my life. I'm sorry I interrupted myself. Because partnering with the Lord to do this is amazing. And when the last guy sat down, and I'm singing my song, God is my Redeemer. I'm singing there like, when's it going to happen? Help me, Jesus, you know. And I'm going, in your presence, your holy presence, burdens roll away. I'm singing my stuff. I'm sitting there waiting, and the last guy sits down. And suddenly, the heavens open. And the power of God's love falls, boom, and all these guys go, oh, and they start wailing, oh, and they're crying, and just wailing and crying, laying on top of each other, and I'm sitting there going, oh, my God, he is my Redeemer, and they're all crying, oh, and just wailing, it's going on for a while, and they're crying and crying and crying. And then Garland says, after, you know, about, 20, 30 minutes of this move of the Spirit over the hardness of hearts and all these, he says, let's have some testimonies. And these guys start getting up. Everybody had been abused or molested. All these men had been beaten. And he said, my uncle molested me for 3 years, and he's in prison now. But then when I put my hands in the water, he said, God took all the pain away. Everybody, everyone, it was, there's no pain in there no more. They had pain, the hardness, the walls, boom, gone, all gone. Amazing. So I'm going, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And then I get, the next morning, I'm going to lead worship and preach in his church. And then, you know what? This man walks up to me. There was a man, and the pastor had this place, and it was a halfway house. And the halfway house is for people who are out of prison. You guys know where I'm going, that have heard the story. And this fella, he was a former FBI agent. And I was kind of like, he's an FBI agent. How is he in a halfway house? What's that about? How's a FBI agent end up out of prison in a halfway house? You know, I was thinking, what happened? This guy walks up to me before going to church. He walks right up to me. He looks at me in the eyes. He's glowing. He says, I wanted to thank you for yesterday. He said, a few years ago, my wife and my 6 children were all killed in a car accident at the same time. And I flipped out. And yesterday, Jesus took all the pain out of my heart. Now, I don't want to compare pain, but that's pretty significant. He flipped out, did something, and went awry, right? Now he's back working, building his life, and the Lord, by this man's wisdom, somehow got me involved in this thing. And God says, we're not going to disappoint anybody here. You just sit there and pluck your cords. I'm going to do my thing. And God starts moving and healing. And is that right? Now, you can get involved in the effort of having your heart transformed. Because on your paper there, I put the Amplified Version, Hosea 10, verse 12. So, with a view toward righteousness. Let me go ahead and tell you first what the word righteousness means here, so there's no confusion. Righteousness means to do what is truthfully right. To do what is truthfully right. That's what that means. Now, it's very difficult for us to do what's truthfully right when we're broken, and we've been mistreated, and we've been abused. People just dealt with you wrong, you just really have a rough time treating other people right when you've been dealt such severe, you know, I know all about it. I have a testimony. I was abused. I understand the power of forgiveness. I'm not standing up here like I walked in here having it together. It took years for me to learn the way of the Lord and to learn how to forgive and to go through it. That's why I have joy in my heart to stand here and say, God will do it for you. He will help you. He will change something inside of you that's so deeply gone wrong. He's good at this. There's hope in Christ. He'll get the seed. He says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. He'll change all this stuff that was just hellish stuff in the pit, and he'll bring you out and give you a sense of, wow, I'm licking heaven's gates, man. I have something going on inside of me. You get a glimpse of things. He changes you, all this stuff. It's amazing. It's amazing. People caught up with understanding who Jesus is, there's triumph around their life. So this word righteousness, so here it says, so with a view to righteousness, that righteousness like seed may germinate. And then here's what he says, reap in accordance with mercy and loving kindness. He says, break up your uncultivated ground, for it is time to seek and search diligently for the Lord and to long for his blessing until he comes to rain righteousness and his gift of salvation upon you. How many people have been treated bad? You know what this is saying? Don't treat the people back the same way you were treated. No matter what they did, treat them better than they treated you. Now, listen to this. When you start to do that, and it's against your nature, because that's the nature of Jesus, because Jesus was the one who didn't treat back the people when he was treated harshly, he received it, but then forgave. Hello? And when you start to act like that, God goes, there's one. And suddenly you start reaping something out of the heavens. You start to reap mercy and loving kindness. You say, I'm going to treat people good who've treated me bad. And God says, you acting like Jesus today? I'm going to release a reaping in your life. And suddenly he says, go get the... What do you say? Go get those. Those plows. Go get those plows. Help this guy out, because he is going against everything that he feels and knows about his belief system because he was abused. He's turning around, and he's treating people better than he was treated. And God says, "I can't help it. That's why I got to get involved. Let's go ahead and help him break up that fallow ground in his heart." Let's start raining upon him. Let's shower some love in there. Let's soften that soil. Let's help this guy. Let's help this girl. And the agency of heaven, the angels show up with their water. And you end up changing. Your heart begins to soften. Are you there with me? Your heart begins to soften. You begin to change. The Lord says, I'm going to make you a good soul. Let's just look at point number two. This is kind of prophetically. With God's help, I will treat people better than they treat me and reap God's mercy and loving kindness. With God's help, I choose to break up the hardness of heart and seek Him. Let's praise the Lord, somebody. Come on. You can do this. You can make a step. You can make a step toward Jesus. You can make it. How many of you know that I'm telling you the truth here? How many of you have done this? Say, I'm sick and tired of always caving in to what I've always done. You know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting something different to happen. And so, no, you got to go and act differently. In your attitude, in your heart. So I'm going to be the forgiver in the room. I'm going to start to, and you, is there any takers? Look, here, let me just go ahead and say, is this a message that's bing, whatever, bing, whatever, bing? Do you want that to be your day today? Do you want the same thing? You want the same thing. I walked in here. There's an Old Testament passage that says, if you enter the east gate, go out the north gate. If you go in the south gate, go out the... Basically, the Lord's saying, don't leave the same way you came in. Don't leave the same way you came in. There is help on the shelf. And the Lord's saying, would you like some of my stuff? Would you like me to pour in my stuff into you? My stuff transforms. Would you lift your head just for a moment? Thank you, Lord. I just ask, Spirit of God, move over hearts right now. There's a softening available. It's coming. Just go ahead and open your heart. Say, Lord, I want to be different. I want to be different. I don't want to be hard-hearted anymore. I don't want to be deceived anymore. I don't want to be deceived anymore. The Lord, there's a scripture that says, God, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever one sows, he'll reap. I don't want to reap the same stuff I've been getting anymore. It says, the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Today, Lord, there's a group of people in here, and they're acknowledging your word, and they don't want it to bounce off. And I believe with all of my heart, because you put this in me, I believe that there, today there's a softening of the soil in some souls here. And the rich word of your depth, the depth of your love for them is going to go in and produce fruit. It's going to go in and cultivate the life of the kingdom of God, relationship with Jesus. Help is on the way. The seed will grow up. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain of the ear. You're going to see things of God's character and nature begin to take root in your life because today you said, I am not going to be hard-hearted anymore. Hallelujah. Be gone with it. Be gone with it. Just tell your own soul, soul, you're going to have a soft, receptive heart. You're going to receive the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. We're going to do the last point. Last point, no matter, number point three, no matter what I choose, no matter what I choose, no matter what, excuse me, no matter what, I choose to hear God's word, hold it fast to me, so I will bear fruit through patience. No matter what, I choose to hear God's word and to hold it fast to me. And I will bear much fruit through patience. As soon as you're finished with that, I want to ask if you would be so kind to stand. And we're going to get ready to dismiss here in a second. How many people actually listened and heard it? Was it your were you a guppy or were you a human? What did you receive today? Okay, we're going to lift our heads to the Lord again. I want those praying, going to help up here pray. Go in and just join us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We mentioned putting the water on the heart, and we have some water up here. Man, I just love the way the Lord touches people and brings them through. And that's available. So if the Lord's brought something up of a kind of a abusive thing, like I had, or a hardness of heart, or some kind of a thing that's never been resolved, we want to little partner with the Lord and allow his water. We can put some water in your hands. You can put it on your heart, and we'll pray over you. And that, but before that, I want to go ahead and say this real quick, and then we'll shift back into the other thing. The first thing that needs to happen, the first thing that always needs to happen, is you say, I want to know Jesus. I need to know him. I need to receive him. Would you like to help us with this?
How many of you know that he is the eternal seed of life? We've been talking about all kinds of seeds. But if you have never received the one and only true seed that gives you new life, you loved one, don't even have a starting point. Many of us here saw the crazies jumping around this morning, radically loving and worshiping God because we have been transformed by that seed that was planted, some just a little while ago and some many, many years ago. Please don't leave here. If the Lord is drawing you today, he wants to put the seed of his love inside your heart. My dear friend said it's just really as simple as ABC, right, Pastor Laurie? So come and let us take you through the ABCs of getting to know Jesus. One, you just admit that you need the Lord. You can't live life and navigate it anymore the way you have. You're done with that. And then you believe in your heart that he is the Lord and that the Heavenly Father sent him to pay for our sins. And then you confess that he is Lord in that Father God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. And so begins this wonderful journey of your heart becoming softer. And we're here to help you do that. So please don't leave if you feel the Holy Spirit drawing you to give your life to Jesus Christ for the first time. Now, for the rest of us, Pastor talked about little places in our heart that maybe are still hard. And just like that, power of God came on those men when that water was put on them. I believe today, with a step of faith from you, saying today's the day when I receive the seed of God's love and healing, transforming work in my life over whatever that is so hard there in your heart, you will be changed. Hear it again, loved one. You will be changed. But you have to choose to let Jesus heal that part of your heart. We love you. You are always welcome here. Please don't hesitate to come down here. We're here for you. Don't leave the same way you came in. We love you, and we'll see you next week. Amen.
Hallelujah.